So we explored some statistics yesterday that seemed to predict that our contact lists and friend circles in this country could use a little racial diversity, particularly in the case of white Americans. And some of you out there immediately said, we should just chill out.
This is Jeff, Northeastern Kentucky. What do y'all want us to do, start bussing in friends and sing kumbaya around a campfire or something? I mean, we associate with the people that we want to associate with. It's that simple.
I think Jeff should get his own show. I love Jeff. He wasn't the only one who responded, and not everybody was pushing back either.
Demographics and where people live makes a big difference as far as exposure to people from different cultures. And when you meet them, you just can't get enough.
I don't really see the necessity to prove to America that I'm not racist. I don't want to go out and get me a black friend so that my friends know that I'm not racist.
It has to be an intentional effort that starts early on so that children grow up feeling very comfortable with people of other races. And as a result, friendships continue through adulthood.
That's a sampling of the many thoughts that you had about our discussion yesterday. Kai Wright, editor-at-large at Color Lines, joins us. Kai, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So where do you fall on the Public Religion Research Institute test? You got a lot of white friends?
I am amongst actually very rare group of folks who are in an interracial relationship. And I think that's what's important to remember is that, you know, it is the case that in the most intimate parts of our lives is where we're the most racially homogenous still. You know, I mean, it's not just your friends. It's where you worship is deeply
right.
Segregated. It's who we love and have sex with. It's who we have in our family. And importantly, it's where we live, which is what drives a great deal of this. Residential segregation remains profound in the United States, and that has all kinds of effects.
And that's really the cause of what we looked at yesterday as something of a symptom.
I think so. And it's important to think about also that this is one symptom, but there are some more profound symptoms. For instance, you know, the most obvious is the education system. The segregation we see in our education system and amongst in public schools is driven by residential segregation. The wealth gap that we see that is dramatic between white and black in the country is driven by residential segregation because so much of our wealth is held in homes.
All right. So given that we're really, you know, hamstrung by a lot of these sort of socioeconomic realities, listen to this caller here.
This is Anne calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. I think that people should be able to associate freely with whom they feel that they would like to associate with. I don't really think everybody wants to always mix up and should be okay to not do so. That's a kind of a liberty that we have, and I think it's a good one.
She's got a point.
Sure. I think it's an example of how it's kind of the wrong conversation. I think, you know, in recent weeks, for instance, coming out of what's been happening in Ferguson with the
yep.
killing of Michael
right,
Brown,
right.
And there's been a lot of conversation about how do black people think about it versus how do white people
think about it.
And I think that's an example of, to the degree that this matters, is that if you have lived a life where you are in a black neighborhood and you're familiar with a kind of policing that goes on there, it's immediately relevant. It's immediately clear to you why people would be in the streets in Ferguson. If you live in a neighborhood where you haven't experienced that kind of policing, well, it's not. And
so that addresses what you lose by being in a bubble, whether you're black or white, rather than you know, you're going to gain something by acquiring a black friend. You know, I was thinking about this, and I wonder if Ferguson is the wrong way to think about it. I think what you're saying is right. But this is more in the category of, you know, you look at your playlists. I should listen to some new music. I need to expose myself to the diversity. I live here in New York. I should find different concerts to go to. I should find different people to associate with. And that's what this is about, less than I need to, you know, dial down my racism by getting black friends.
Well, sure. I mean, and diversity is important and great for everyone's cultural enrichment. But there's also the question of the broader issues that we're trying to solve as a nation. And that's race becomes such a flashpoint because opportunity is still doled out along racial lines. And so people, I think some of the pushback you hear when people say, hey, just because I have a black friend doesn't make me not racist, and the fact that I don't have a black friend makes me racist, is rooted in this idea that we said, hey, racism today is about individual choices. You know, since the end of the Civil Rights Movement, we've said racism is about individual choices. And so a lot of the country has said, hey, I individually am not racist. We can move on. But we continue to have these racial divides. We continue to have things like what happened
because
in
people
Ferguson.
Haven't made the choice to live together. People haven't made the choice to engage with others, and there's a consequence.
Well, and because by policy, we continue to have outcomes that are driven by race, and that is hard for people to understand because they don't live together.
All right, check this out. We got a lot of responses from the Pacific Northwest, which seems like a little bit of a utopia here. Listen to this.
My name is Barbara, and I'm calling from Seattle, Washington. First of all, I'm African American. I live in a predominantly white, affluent area. And the other night I was part of a dinner party where I was the only non-white person there. And the question of race came up. What impressed me about it was that people were not afraid to have the conversation and to not feel guilty about it, but just have it be part of the conversation. And I was thinking what would help is that if people had some language, some experience that would help them have these conversations that would foster understanding rather than creating more misunderstanding.
It depends on where you live, right?
Yeah. And to her point, you know, one of the smartest things folks say is the best way to have a conversation about racism is not calling individuals racists because you don't get anywhere that way. And I think that's part of what you're hearing is that people hear this study and they think, that makes me a racist. That's beside the point.
Okay, but Jason in Portland says something I want you to respond to. Jason writes, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do about this. I live in Portland, Oregon, the whitest major city in America. If every white person in Portland went out of their way to befriend multiple people of multiple ethnicities, people of color in this town would have unreasonably busy social calendars. Are you going to get really busy in the next few weeks?
Well,
phone ringing off the hook.
I mean, the question is whether every black person wants to be befriended by Jason.
Yeah, right, exactly. Jason, what kind of a friend are you? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Final thought?
I think maybe
it's a good conversation. Right?
It's a good conversation, and at least, John, you should diversify your playlist.
Oh, come on. It's about me, I guess.
I think so.
Radio host gets nailed in the end. So where do you stand?
This is Caitlin. I grew up in a town with mostly white people. Therefore, most of my friends were white. Today, I live in Cleveland. I live in a more integrated neighborhood, and I have a workplace where about half of my coworkers are black. So I have developed friendships with people of color that I never had before, just because I was never exposed. The friendship thing is just an indicator of segregation. It's not an indicator of racism.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, and our thanks to Kai Wright, editor-at-large of Colorline.